Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Minister for Higher and Further Education, Simon Harris. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you very much.
Now, CAO offers are due out in a matter of weeks. There are extra college places, but fewer places for students to stay. Is there anything at all you can do?
Yes, there is. And yes, we are. And I suppose there's two parts to it. There's the need to move beyond the annual conversation in September about student accommodation and change the policy and actually start building thousands of publicly funded or part publicly funded college owned affordable accommodation. Maybe we'll get to that in a moment. But in the immediate term, right now, students are returning to college shortly. It's actually going to be the first regular normal college year since 2018, if you think about it like that, because the 2019 year was interrupted in March. It's the first time in 4 years people are going back. They're going back against the backdrop of the accommodation situation, which was already challenging, and housing supply challenging, but now with Ukraine as well being an added challenge. But they are going back with about 1,200 more beds coming into the system for students this year. And the most immediate thing we can do, and I feel very strongly about this,
is only 600 of those are available kind of at the beginning of college, and then a further 600 throughout the year.
That's entirely true.
But we all start college in September.
Well, I don't mean to be smart when I say we actually don't, because with the semesterised year, there's often an intake of students in January as well. But I do take the point, you're right, and I'm not being in any way disingenuous. There's about 1,200 during the course of the year. I viewed 249 in Trinity yesterday, which opened next month, and there's many more across the country. But right now in August, what can we do to try and help supply? And what we can do is, and we are doing, and colleges are doing right across the country, is promote the rent-a-room scheme. This is a scheme, it's not a new scheme. In 2018, this scheme saw 3,000 students housed through what was traditionally known as digs. You rent a room in a house. It's a scheme that's flexible. It's a scheme that can work for many people. And in the middle of a cost of living crisis, it can work for a homeowner, because if you have a spare room in the house, you can rent that room. You're actually able to earn 14,000 a year without paying tax. And we've made a change this year. If you're on social welfare, you don't lose your social welfare. So if you're perhaps a person living alone and you get the living alone allowance or the fuel allowance, you can take in a student, get some income from that and not be affected. And since we've really started pushing this scheme, I'm pleased to say, and I have some figures here, we're seeing very significant interest across the country. 102 rooms in Galway as one example.
Okay, it makes sense, particularly for the parents of students going into first year. They might feel a little more secure about the safety, health and well-being of their offspring, knowing that Mrs. O'Shea or Mr. O'Brien or whatever is kind of looking out for them. If they go missing, a phone call might be made. It could be a harmless overnight or somewhere, but at the same time, they would have that reassurance. Flip that card over and you have the students who want independence from that kind of thing. They don't want Mr. O'Brien or Mrs. O'Shea. They want to be independent, and that's why they like the flat or the shared house.
Yeah, and look, be blunt. My policy desire here is that we flip the model we've had in place for student accommodation. So at the moment, there's about 45,500 purpose-built student accommodation units in Ireland, beds. But two-thirds of them are private and a third of them are public. Now, if I look at other jurisdictions, if I look at other countries, I think we can learn a lot from there. What we need to do, we have a sector that has a lot of land banks, a lot of land banks. We have a sector that actually has a lot of planning permission to build student accommodation. But what we've also had is market failure. It hasn't made sense. It hasn't been viable for the colleges to build. And as a state, and hands up, we have never invested public funds in building student accommodation. So just before the summer recess, I made a presentation to the Cabinet Committee on Housing, received the Taoiseach's support, and we're going to now, for the first time, put in place a fund to start building purpose-built student accommodation for the reasons that you say. So students can have that full normal college experience. And also, I think on-campus accommodation can be safe too.
How do you control the price? Because often the on-campus accommodation is market price, really. It's not cheap accommodation. It's not subsidised accommodation. I think when I came across DCU, I think it was 3,000 a term, and that was a few years back.
Yeah.
So it's not cheap.
It varies a lot, being very honest. I mean, it varies very significantly from, I think I've seen some accommodation for €445 a month in some rooms in Galway to much, much higher, 1,600 a month in one college in Dublin, which is clearly not affordable for anybody.
Some of those things were built, though, aimed at the foreign student, weren't they? The well-heeled foreign student.
And I think that's true too. But to answer your question directly, what you do is this. Well, you do two things. You, as part of the state investing money, there will be an affordability agreement reached with the colleges. So we're going to come up with a model where we will take an equity share, probably, where we'll take a stake, and in return, rents will have to be capped, right? So that's the first thing, and we're working this through with the sector, and I hope to be in a position to start progressing this scheme in the coming months. We have a couple of thousand units with planning permission today that I want to get on and see built. Second thing, though, is I don't think on the affordability issue, I'm very concerned about it, but there are other ways of dealing with affordability as well. The student grant system, for example. So we've massively increased by 25% to 33% the student grants for students who live further away. In other words, students who are more likely to have to pay rent. So there are two ways. One, you reach an agreement on affordability in return for estate investment. And secondly, you can help address the cost of rent through things like student grants.
The private sector will build with a view to a return. Now, if a pension fund builds, often I'm thinking of continental Europe, they're not looking for a big payday. Our guys tend to look for big paydays here and paydays quickly. Pension funds take much longer term views of things. Customised student accommodation does not have to be, you know, an ensuite for everybody. There are all sorts of different ways of doing it cleverly. And I'm not talking about the discredited kind of co-living where you pay €1,400 a month for a car parking space.
Well, look, I think you're entirely right in the sense that the Union of Students of Ireland themselves have worked to put in place a spec, what they believe a student needs. And it's not a bowling alley. And I don't say that flippantly. We've actually seen private development, so-called student accommodation with a bowling alley. No student wants that. I mean, what we want here is good, clean, safe, secure accommodation. And the spec that the Union of Students of Ireland have worked with us on is the spec that we'll be using. There are good examples. I mean, I've seen good accommodation in Mary Eye, in Tipperary. There are good examples of where this has been done in the past. But we have to be truthful here. I don't believe the market on its own will be able to fix both the affordability and the supply issue, and that's why the state now will intervene. But this September, what I'm saying very clearly to people, the rent-a-room scheme can help, is helping literally several hundred people today in finding accommodation. And every college in Ireland now has set up an ability to have a register. So if you live near a college and want to offer a room, you can get in touch with the college. And if you're a student looking for a room, you can get in touch with the college.
And the Alumni Association of UCD is circulating its members saying, please, if you can put up a student. Now, one of the issues that many people will have is that student reputations, in terms of, you know, what we saw in Cork, what we saw in Limerick, students kind of out of control. And the people thinking of renting a room to a student say, do I want that kind of carry on in my place? What do you say to people to reassure them? Because, I mean, there's many a landlord and a landlady ran a tight ship and didn't have that kind of problem.
Yeah, look, I always push back against, I think, an unfair stereotype of young people or students as that there can always be in any age group in society challenges or issues. I mean, I think what happens here is a relationship between the person who has the home and the person looking to rent the room. And obviously there's an interview process and you satisfy yourself with who you're happy to live under your roof. And equally the student and their parents in many cases satisfy themselves with the person whose home they'll be living in. And I think that's the sort of common sense way to go about things. I just think students and young people in this country have sacrificed so much over the last number of years. So much of life has been put on hold for them. And my genuine experience, both as Minister for Health and now Minister for Further and Higher Education, is that young people have really given a lot to the national effort to get us to where we are.
Do you see any benefit in drawing up a contract, a standard contract that would be made available to the person who's going to rent a room and the student, general rules, or is that just messing too much in the market, you know, interfering too much?
So I have to be honest here, because the Union of Students of Ireland would be critical of the lack of such an agreement in place.
They were on here talking about it and saying, you know, we demand the right to behave as we wish, and we don't want to feel we can be thrown out for bad behaviour. And I found that astonishing.
Well, I think, I mean, what they certainly say to me, Pat, is that they want to make sure that digs or renting a room that you have the same protections as you'd have in any other accommodation. I have to balance all of these things with not doing anything that would make fewer rooms available this year. If you're particularly perhaps an older person living in part of this country, when they're living alone allowance and looking to take somebody in, we need to make sure that, yes, the house, the, you know, there's a fair deal here, but we also need to make sure that the process isn't so arduous that you don't offer up this.
I mean, sometimes people simply do not get on.
And under these...
You know, and it's in your own home that you're taking somebody in. Is, yeah. And if you find there's a toxin within your four walls, you should have the right, you know, for no particular reason, just it's not working, you feel edgy, you feel uneasy, the habits may be, you know, arriving in at 4 a.m, disturbing the rest of the household, the dog starts barking because the, you know, there are all sorts of reasons why it might not work.
That's it. And under the under this arrangement, that's perfectly adequate for people to have those conversations, and if it not work, for it not to be, not to continue. So what this, excuse me, what this is not an alternative to increasing student accommodation. It's not an alternative to building more and increasing supply. It's just an additional measure that may work for some people. And what is very interesting, when I got figures from the colleges across the country yesterday, is it does seem to be working for lots of people. And it's not a new idea. It's not a new idea. I read an excellent piece by, was it Colin Murphy in the Sunday Independent at the weekend, talking about how this is, this has been a tried and tested model that thousands upon thousands of students each year had used for a long time. We don't need to overcomplicate the situation here. What we need to do is make sure that every possible bit of capacity we can get in for students is made available.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is that years ago, the landlord, the landlady who was doing this kind of thing, providing digs, a blind eye was turned by the tax man because it was seen as a positive kind of a social good. And now it's formalised that the taxman is...
Oh yeah, taxman's eyes are fully open on this. I mean, there's no blind eyes here. He's looking right through his glasses on this, because it's the law of the land since, I think, 2017, the limit of 14,000. Mm. What is new this year is the changes made by my colleague, Minister Heather Humphreys, around social welfare. Mm. And also, actually, I should tell you this morning and tell your listeners, I'm making a further change today in relation to the SUSE grant. So you could be a mum or a dad, your son or daughter away at college, and you've a spare room now and you're happy to take a student into that room. But you might be worried it would affect your child grants next year, so we'll make sure that doesn't happen either. So the four.
Okay, so it's a total exemption. You have 14 grand, and when you think about it, if you were paying tax at the higher level, I mean, that's going to be worth 20 grand of earned income or more.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we're talking primarily about student accommodation today, but we're also talking about it in the context of a cost of living crisis, and where people are obviously trying to maximise their own income and minimise their outgoings. This is another way of potentially putting a room in your house to use and bringing a bit of money to the family.
Now, some students have complained, and, you know, in the case of the student village, so-called, in Tralee, which is no longer now a student village, it's on the open market because the owners of those houses feel they can make more money on the open market. But we've heard also complaints of students who had put deposits down and had those deposits returned. What's a deposit if it doesn't secure accommodation?
Yeah, I mean, so two things I'd say, and not to comment on the individual one, but I have heard some examples of people saying that was student accommodation, it was built for student accommodation, and it's been turned into something else. When I have checked out some of these, they actually weren't necessarily built as student accommodation. Some of them actually got planning permission and were built as holiday homes. The point about deposits, though, is one I take a very serious view on. I mean, we can't have a situation where there's any sort of gouging here of hard-pressed families and people taking money and not returning it if it's due. And I'm very happy to work with the Union of Students in Ireland.
But people thinking they had accommodation and having the deposit, sorry, I've got someone else, I've got a better deal, here's your money back.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I also think we have to be, really blunt here in relation to the reality regarding Ukraine. Our sector has put up its hand and tried to provide significant support. 5,700 units were provided by the higher education sector, public and private. The overwhelming bulk of them are now being returned, kind of as we speak, through the month of September. But there will be a small number of private operators who have decided to extend those leases to help with the humanitarian situation. And it is a very delicate balance because one day, and I don't mean this in any way flippantly, one day people are saying to me, what are you doing about student accommodation? Another day people are saying to me, well, how dare you remove somebody from Ukraine with three children to another part of the country.
Literally parallel items in the Irish Times this morning. One by Carl O'Brien. Homeowners asked to rent rooms to students under tax scheme, about which we've been conversing. And right beside it, Jack Horgan-Jones, renewed appeal for accommodation for Ukrainian refugees. And of course, they are linked. Yes. You mention permissions given for holiday homes. I'm just wondering, is there a case for prefab villages on campus lands? You say they've lots of land. Prefab classrooms have been used by primary schools and secondary schools for years. They don't have an eternal life. They might be good for 20 years. Is there a case for actually putting up very rapidly mobile home type accommodation on campus land, which would be secure because there are campus patrols and all the rest of it, in the short term?
There is, and we'll be talking to the sector literally this month about the new policy of wanting to support the more development, and if modular or quick build or fast build or any of those is a part of it, we're happy to have that discussion. But I must say to you, Pat, my initial discussion with the sector is that in many of these cases, I hate that phrase shovel ready, but in many of these cases, a lot of the projects are almost ready to go. And I'm not sure there'd be a massive increase in speed by doing a modular versus the full build.
No, I'm just thinking that people spend the summers down in places like British Bay in very comfortable mobile homes, which do not cost the earth.
Yes.
And if they could be deployed on campus land, and there's loads of it, Galway, for example, has loads, Limerick has certainly loads. You know, there are places where there's plenty of land, UCD, Trinity College, less so, obviously, in dense conurbations. But the land is there, and you could have a village that would house, you know, 400 students quite easily.
Yeah, everything's on the table. And I mean, we've made this very, very clear to the sector. I've written to presidents of universities saying we're open to any local solution at all. We've seen one in Limerick, for example, where a disused building was put back into use. So whatever it takes, we won't be found wanting. But what if we want to not be having this conversation in the future Septembers, it is going to require a policy shift. And I mean, I'm looking here at figures I have in front of me. We have a university in Dublin with 1,240 beds with full planning permission. We have another in Dublin with 1,230. We've one in Kildare with about 500, one in Galway with 600. When you add up all these figures I have in front of me, there's about 4,765 beds with at a fairly advanced stage.
Okay, and are the colleges going to develop those themselves, or will they bring in partners? Because those partners will be private sector partners who are looking to turn a coin.
No, I mean, what I want to do here is, and I don't mind who builds them, right? But I mean, what I want to do here is see the colleges develop them as college-owned facilities with investment from the state. And I want to start the pilot, if you like. I want to start it with those that have full planning permission. We've seen an example of this. My colleague, the Minister for Housing, brought in a scheme recently where the state is subventing the building of apartments because we've recognised that there's a market failure in terms of development of apartments. If we recognise that for apartments, we have to now recognise it for publicly owned student accommodation. And I'm pleased we've won that battle. That has been accepted by government now. We need to get on with doing it. It won't help for this September. There's no pretending it will, but it will change the dialogue and it will change the reality for students and parents into the future.
The other story that came from your department was about Ukrainian students who are going to be given help to go to PLCs.
They will. And thanks for allowing me the opportunity to do this, because I'm actually irked and annoyed this morning with some of the misrepresentation of this on social media by people who either should know better or just don't care about the facts. The reality of the situation is further education, PLCs in Ireland, there is no fee for an Irish student or anybody else. I abolished that fee last year. What I am saying, though, is I want Ukrainian people to have access to the same level of grants that Irish people do. And I've announced a scheme yesterday that will make sure that Ukrainian students can access a bursary where they can go to further education and training. You see some people trying to say, oh, why is a Ukrainian student getting something and Irish students aren't getting? That is an ignorant comment. Irish students can access SUSE and student grants. This is roughly the same level for Ukrainian students. But it's to make sure that Ukrainian people living in all our communities can continue their education, can get into employment and can play their part in the community.
And there has been a willingness shown by many Ukrainians here to get into work as quickly
absolutely.
As possible.
Absolutely.
Some of the comments coming in, when building new academic structures, could the universities be responsible to build up matching accommodation just like property developers have to build a percentage of social housing? Not a bad idea, but we're not building too many brand new academic institutions. Lots of extensions, but not...
No, that listener's point is valid. The only thing I'd say is we have a tradition in Ireland where some people move out of home when they go to college. Some people, because probably it's a smaller country, stay at home. About 40% of students continue to live in the family home when they go to college. I know in Greystones, where I'm from, a lot of people would commute to Dublin colleges. So it's not a bed required for every place. But the point about mapping out the number of beds required and how we deliver them is an entirely valid point.
I've rented a room to several students. I can assure you I was not mammying them in any way. I treated them as independent adults who looked after themselves and didn't need to tell me anything about where they were going or when they'd be back. It's rent a room, not rent a mammy.
I think that's very sound advice.
sick and tired of hearing our politicians telling us there's no problem where there actually is a problem. This rent a room scheme is not the be-all and end-all to the student problem. That's from Stephen in Killarney.
Well, Stephen must have put the kettle on when I was talking there, because I didn't suggest in any way, shape or form there's not a challenge. There's a massive challenge. And what I'm suggesting is we're going to change the policy to overcome it and invest public money in building the lands, in building accommodation for the first time. But I'm also saying we're not going to sit idly by until that happens. And the rent-a-room scheme is an immediate measure.
Thousands of students, student beds gone to Ukrainians during the summer, and now they don't want to leave as they will get worse accommodation. Who can blame them? I've great sympathy for them, but this is of the government's own making. It was easy to see this crisis happening from the beginning of the summer. That's Tony. And it was a makeshift arrangement. You knew the student accommodation would have to be taken back.
Absolutely. And it's actually, and I take Tony's point to a degree, but what would Tony have done? I mean, I don't think Irish people wanted to see the scenes we saw briefly in Dublin Airport. I think Irish people wanted to respond to the humanitarian situation. We weren't going to leave student accommodation lying idle over the summer months while people, mainly mothers and children, were having to maybe having to sleep in a tent. It made absolute sense to use it. Mm-hmm. But it is a challenge. And I can assure Tony that as we speak, the process of relocating people from student accommodation elsewhere is underway. I think UCD happened last week. It's all happening. We've mapped out the weeks it's happening between now and the middle of September. But there's absolutely no doubt it is a challenge, a real challenge. But that is the challenge of war.
Would it be an idea as a last resort for students who are unable to find accommodation to have the opportunity to study from home, similarly to the conditions when there was the COVID lockdown and colleges and universities were closed? It might help somewhat in what seems to be a dire situation. Required doubling up on the part of lecturers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to the argument that in general people should be able to access online learning as well. But at the same time, I'm very conscious that the college experience is about a lot more than just the lectures. It's about the clubs, the societies and the likes. And that's why we're trying to do everything we can to find accommodation solutions for people. And also for people who are commuting, looking at what we can do to reduce their costs. So we've halved public transport costs for people under 24. We're increasing the grants for people, particularly who live further away. And we will take further actions to help students and parents with cost in the budget.
Prefab accommodation on campus is a great idea, but why do the powers that be always wait until students are actually heading back to college rather than sorting it out in May and have these things ready in September? That's from Maria.
Yeah, I get your sentiment, Maria, and it can sometimes seem like that. I can assure you that hasn't been the case. There's been dozens upon dozens of meetings to try and get a new policy that we've never before had in Ireland to change the approach to student accommodation. But I take the point, and what I'm trying to do is not be the minister that just looks to this September. I'm trying to say, well, what will it look like in 3 years, in 4 years, in 5 years? And I suppose when you're a minister, you have to deal with the immediate, but also, how do you change the policy?
Yeah, I mean, that prefab or mobile home idea, I mean, I've often thought of it over the last couple of years about why not do this for people who are looking for a home. You know, local authorities do it. They're always looking for planning permissions. You know, for temporary dwellings, it's a different planning regime. So you can put them up, give them a particular life, say 10 years, 5 years, whatever it might be, and do the same now for the colleges. Do it quickly. I mean, it still could be done.
Yeah, well, like I say, we're meeting with the sector, and everything and anything that the sector wishes to do on its lands, government will support it in doing. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And I think there's merit in what you say. But I do also want to get sods turned, shovels in ground, JCBs on site and bricks going up to build the proper student accommodation.
Now, it's always a great thing for a minister to announce a project and then announce that it's got planning, then announce that the shovel is in the ground and then finally open it. Sure. It may well be that your great ideas for higher education will not be yours for the fulfilment because there will be a reshuffle. Now, I want to play you something. Yesterday, Barry White was doing a report card on your constituency colleague, Stephen Donnelly, the Minister for Health. And he was asking people, whether Stephen had been doing a good job. But have a listen to this.
No, I don't think he is. He is good, but he's not as good as Simon Harris was in the health.
He could be replaced in December if there's a cabinet reshuffle. Do you think he should stay on or should he be replaced?
I think he should stay on a while. I do. And maybe get some things done, but I would like to see if Simon Harris could get that position back.
You'd like to see Simon Harris back?
Back in the health, I think so. I think we'd get a lot more done and quicker.
Now, that's music to the ears of someone when his constituency colleague is slagged off a bit.
No, I just didn't know my mother was interviewed by News Talk yesterday. I just...
But that question, the poison chalice, Angola, whatever you like to call the Department of Health, would you have an appetite, even though it's not in your gift to decide, to go back?
Department of Health is one of the most demanding jobs in government, and I'm one of the few people that has done it in terms of knowing exactly what it's like. And I think Stephen is working extremely hard. I'm not going to comment in any way on reshuffles at all, other than to say I'm loving the jobs that I'm doing. I loved being Minister for Health. Really challenging, demanding job. But during the COVID pandemic in particular, I think we all pulled together and tried to show what our health service can look like. But reshuffles are matters way above my pay grade. And I think Stephen's doing a very good job.
A last question from a listener. Susie Grant still available to people if they take a student is fine, but my daughter can't apply for Susie Grant because she has to go to a private college because there wasn't a place for her in a public college.
That listener is right. At the moment, student grants only fund students attending public colleges. Now, we are, I just say to the listener, we are reviewing the Susie grant scheme. And one of the issues being looked at as part of that is whether the grant should kind of follow the student rather than the institution they attend. But the listener's comment is factually correct at the moment.
I mean, that's a good idea, which was entertained in health for a while, that the money would follow the patient rather than be given to the individual hospital.
Yeah, I'm conscious of the fact that there's a lot of people who attend private colleges because perhaps they offer a course that isn't available elsewhere. They didn't get points in some cases or whatever. It's not the idea that everyone who attends a private college can afford private fees. So it is something we're actively looking at.
Minister for Higher and Further Education, Simon Harris, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.